KOIN in Portland, the Mystery Theater follows the news.
CBS News. Many economists and House and Senate members applaud President Ford's decision to hold off further tariff boosts on imported oil, avoiding a confrontation between the executive and legislative branches, and seeking compromise instead. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Economists in the main welcomed the president's decision to hold off two more planned $1 a barrel tariff hikes on imported oil. Many agreed such a move would have been inflationary and harmful to the economy. Although Mr. Ford vetoed the bill that would have killed all such tariff increases for 90 days, his decision to voluntarily withhold further increases for 60 days, as well as delay for 30 days an equally controversial deregulation of domestic oil, was viewed on Capitol Hill as a conciliatory move. Senate Democrats delayed indefinitely any effort to override the veto, pending action on a compromise program. In the House, Democrats are giving some consideration to postponing an overriding vote, now tentatively planned for Thursday. Federal Energy Chief Frank Zarb said the president was not as anxious to make the tariff stick as he was to spur congressional action.
The president imposed the fee originally to promote progress in the right direction. He still believes that. He still believes that his energy approach is the correct one. He, however, wants to create a climate within the next 60 days where those of us who are familiar with the details of our proposal and the congressional proposal can look at each other's information and hopefully come to an agreement.
Federal Energy Administrator Frank Zarb. CBS News continues following this message.
They said it could be done by fleas and ticks all in one. The two-in-one collar from Hearts. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
They said it couldn't be done, but Hearts did it. At last, a collar for your dog or cat that not only kills fleas, but fights ticks too. Fleas and ticks are a year-round problem, so give your pet all-over protection right now. Look for the box with the bullseye, the new Hearts 2-in-1 collar. One incredible collar for both fleas and ticks.
Hi, everybody. This is your cousin Brucey for the Foundation Church. You rush for breakfast, you miss the bus, the dog takes a bite out your legs, crowded trains, school's gone nutty, your boss snaps your head off, and so on and so on. We all have days like this, right? Well, why not stop for a moment? Talk to a friend. Sharing difficulties, it helps a lot. Somebody to talk to. Remember, we're all in this one together. This message is brought to you by the Foundation Church, 111 East 38th Street, New York, New York, zip 10016.
Agreement was reached at the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries summit meeting in Algiers to negotiate a long-range oil price freeze with industrialized Western countries. The leaders of the major oil exporting states meet again Wednesday to complete what they term a solemn declaration of principles by which they intend to govern relations with their customers. A new energy agreement between the United States and Iran, but not involving oil. CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Kalb has that story.
The United States and Iran signed an unusually large economic agreement, $15 billion in trade between the two countries over the next 5 years, including Iran's purchase of up to 8 American nuclear power plants. Those would be ready and delivered in the early 1980s, and they would be in addition to 4 other nuclear plants that Iran is now buying from France and West Germany. Secretary Kissinger, who signed the agreement on behalf of the United States, calls it a model for future cooperation between the oil-consuming nations and the oil-producing states. Although oil is not really part of this $15 billion deal, it does provide the cash. Iran buys American technology with its oil money, and America uses this money to buy oil from Iran and other oil states. It may very well be the largest bilateral money deal between two countries anywhere in the world, at least so Kissinger claims. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, the State Department.
And we'll have more news in a moment.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Pentagon sources revealed Tuesday night that a small force of Marines and helicopters are on Navy ships in the Gulf of Thailand, poised in case they're needed to evacuate Americans from the besieged Cambodian capital of Phnom Penh. Pentagon sources stressed the deployment is strictly a precautionary move. West German terrorists Tuesday night freed West Berlin mayoral candidate Peter Lorenz. He's in very good condition. His freeing, the final step in a carefully arranged bargain which grants political asylum in South Yemen to five anarchists freed from prison for his freedom. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
A man who rose from fireman to four-term Portland mayor died today. 61-year-old Terry Schrunk died in a Portland hospital after 2 weeks in a coma following a heart attack. Funeral services will be held this Friday. The Oregon press has lost its first court test of the state's public records law. Judge Jana Schlegel of Marion County Circuit Court ruled today that the Oregon State Bar may keep its disciplinary records on attorneys confidential. Salem radio newsman Russell Sandler had sought access to the files on Salem attorney Jason Lee. He was elected to the state appeals court last year. Robert Paul Sander arraigned today on five counts of murder in connection with the shooting deaths of five persons at a seaside resort motel in Smith River, California last weekend. Sander is being held in Crescent City, California. He denies any knowledge of those shootings. A bill that would require new buildings to have ramps for wheelchairs has run into trouble in the Oregon Senate. Opponents argue that it would create an economic hardship for small businesses. A motion to send the measure back to committee failed, and action was postponed until tomorrow. 97 Sports, in a game heard just moments ago here on KOIN, Portland blitzed Cleveland with 10 quick points at the start of the third quarter tonight, romped to a 117-98 victory over the Cavaliers in an NBA game played at the MC. It was the fourth straight win for Portland. Elsewhere in the NBA tonight, Boston over New York, 126-111. Buffalo upended Seattle, 104-97. Atlanta, 109. Los Angeles, 97. Milwaukee, 101. Detroit, 83. Kansas City, Omaha, 103. Phoenix, 99. And Golden State beat Chicago, 117-102. In college basketball, the NAIA District 1 playoffs, Central Washington 86, Alaska 71. Central Washington wins the second straight game in that best-of-three series playoff. In prep basketball action here locally, Washington 68, Madison 45, Astoria 63, Molina 46, Medford 56, Klamath 54. Washington, Astoria, and Medford now go to state. 97 weather for Portland, Vancouver, fair through tomorrow night, but increasing clouds on Thursday, lows in the low 30s, highs in the upper 50s, no chance of rain through tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 44 degrees at KOIN. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 7:42, sunset 7:03 p.m. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
I'm E.G. Marshall. Torture is my subject this time around. Oh, don't be alarmed. I have no intention of shocking you with unmentionable horrors. For you see, there are all sorts of torments invented by man to bedevil his fellow man, and perhaps the most subtle of these is man's fear of the unknown. We are so constructed, it seems to me, that we can almost always cope with the known, whatever it may be. But when we don't know what lies ahead, what nameless nightmare may await, well, let's illustrate with Todd Stearns and his wife, Tammy.
Todd, what if you told them what they want to know?
It could mean the end of this country, Tammy. It could mean the end of the world.
The world?
The world.
Mr. X mentioned torture, didn't he?
Yes.
Will you be able to stand it?
I think so. Once I know what it is. But Mr. X is clever. He won't tell me. He knows that not knowing, that's the worst torture of all.
Our mystery drama, The Pit and the Pendulum, was especially adapted from the Edgar Allan Poe classic For the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Tony Roberts and Marion Seldes. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment to continue brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, without compromise. And it's a promise to everyone who enjoys great beer that there's one thing they'll always be able to count on. That one-of-a-kind Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. A taste that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking?
And when you say Bud,
St. Louis.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door. Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing. Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
It's nothing new to say that men, and women too, have successfully endured the worst of physical pain one can imagine. But mental pain, I'm told, is something else again. Those skilled in the art of extracting information well know that physical force will often succeed, but that mental force will always succeed. Why not employ it at once, then? Because it requires great skill, exquisite subtlety, and is, in consequence, far more difficult to use. Be all this as it may, such thoughts held little, if any, interest for Todd and Tammy Stearns as they drove in an official government limousine toward the airport of a large city.
You really shouldn't have come to see me off this time, Tammy.
Break my record? I've gone to the airport with you every time you've made one of your mysterious, deep, dark, secret trips. Ever since we were married 4 years ago.
Yeah, but with Jill down with a cold...
Well, Anna could certainly take care of her for an hour or two. Todd...
Yes?
You're going to be all right, aren't you?
What makes you ask a silly question like that?
It isn't silly, and you know it. These trips you make abroad every now and then. Well, I don't know what they're all about. I've never known.
Because I've never told you, and I never will. The less you know, the better off you'll be.
Well, I'm not asking you to tell me. I know you won't. But it's not knowing that makes me bite my nails till you come safely back home.
Sorry, sweetheart, but I... That's funny.
What?
I don't think we're not. Driver? Driver, why did you take the left turn? You're heading away from the airport, not toward it.
Good heavens, Todd, we are at that.
Driver? Driver, answer me. Why?
Todd, look. The glass panel's sliding up.
What the devil is this? Driver, what in blazes is going on?
He's just not paying attention. He's not even turning around.
I don't understand it. Driver! Damn it!
He's hoping for a red light, Todd. Let's get out.
And fast. It's locked. Both doors are locked. I can't open them.
Todd! Todd! What does this mean?
I don't like to think what it means, Tammy. But I sure wish you hadn't come along this time.
Come in, Mr. Stearns, come in. Sit down, Mr. Stearns. Make yourself comfortable.
What have you done with my wife?
Oh, she's safe and comfortable. There's nothing for you to worry about, I assure you. Would you care for a drink?
As a matter of fact, I could use one. If it isn't drugged.
Drugged? That's a fanciful idea.
It's no more fanciful than kidnapping me. Who are you? What's this all about?
As to who I am, you can call me Mr. X.
Oh, Mr. X. Come on, you can't be for real. How corny can you get?
It's corny, I admit, but it's also safer. Infinitely safer than any name I might use. You see, X is an unknown quantity. As for what this is all about... Oh, your drink.
Thanks. What is this all about?
Oh, come now, Mr. Stearns. Todd, if I may, you know what it's about.
I'm afraid not.
You're lying, of course, but... Well, no sense wasting valuable time fencing with each other, so I'll tell you. I represent a group that's in the business of selling top-secret information of one country to another. You're in the business of conveying top-secret information from this country to another. The reason you were kidnapped and brought here was because we want the top secret you were presently on your way to deliver to... Well, you know where.
I haven't the slightest idea what you're talking about.
Now, let's not fence, please. I know that you were on your way abroad with the formula for a new bacterial gas, which would easily tip the balance of power in favor of the country possessing it.
Oh, and my government is willing to hand over a weapon as vital and deadly as this to another government?
It is, and you know why. The pact between the two governments, to keep each other informed and thus hopefully to maintain the balance of power.
You know, you've been seeing too many James Bond movies.
Now stop it, Todd. I want the formula. I mean to have it.
Well, you won't get it from me because I haven't got it. As I guess you know, your musclemen searched me thoroughly and found nothing.
I didn't expect they would. I'd have been very surprised, indeed shocked, if you'd been carrying such a formula worth untold millions on your person instead of in your head.
In my head?
Precisely. Todd, I'm authorized to offer you $50,000 for the formula.
For a formula you've just told me can be sold for untold millions?
All right. How much do you want?
It's an academic question, Mr. X, since I don't have the formula.
Would you consider $100,000?
I haven't got the formula you're talking about.
This is a tape recorder. I'm going to leave you here alone for 15 minutes. When I return, I hope you will have been sensible enough to record the formula for me.
Look, I assure you...
Help yourself to the liquor. And, of course, you won't try to escape. As you see, there are no windows and only one door. And please, please, no more nonsense about your not having the formula. You have it, Todd. You have it as surely as we have your wife. Ah, Mrs. Stearns, I see you've been made comfortable.
What have you done with my husband? Where is he?
Now, there's no need to distress yourself, Mrs. Stearns. Tammy, if I may. Todd is presently as safe and as comfortable as you are. Oh, I see that you're drinking tea. Would you like another cup?
What is all this? Why were we brought here? Please.
Now, calm yourself, I beg you. You're in no danger.
My husband?
Nor is he. He's perfectly safe and unharmed at the moment.
At the moment? What do you mean by that?
Well, nothing more nor less than what I said. Tell me, how much do you know about Todd's affairs?
His
work, his career, the duties he performs for our government.
Nothing. Except he's an undersecretary. Well, in some department or other. I don't even know that.
That seems rather hard to believe. Married 4 years and you don't even know what department he works for?
No.
You never bothered to ask?
Well, yes.
And?
Todd made plain to me he wouldn't tell me and that I was not to ask.
You love Todd, of course.
Of course.
How much do you love him?
I love him. Can't say more than that.
I think you can. I think you can say a good deal more than that. For instance, do you love him enough to suffer pain for him, a great deal of pain?
What kind of question is that?
Well, just answer it. Well?
I can't answer it. How would I know how much pain I could stand until I was standing it?
Hmm. Yeah, you have a point. Be interesting, though, wouldn't it, to find out how much you do love Todd, how much pain you could endure?
I don't know why you're threatening me.
Threatening you, Tammy? No, no, not at all. Our discussion is purely theoretical, at least at this time.
At least at this time? For the present? Why, you're threatening me even now. You're torturing at me by hinting at... I don't know what.
Well, let's hope there'll be no need for you to find out. Come in now, Missy. Thank you. Stay here with her. You know what to do with her if I send the signal.
Do what? What are you going to do to me if he sends a signal? Well, answer me. Please. Please answer me. What?
The tape is blank, Todd. You recorded nothing.
There's nothing to record.
Nothing.
If there is a formula such as you speak of, I've never heard of it. Now, why don't you just knock off this nonsense and let me and my wife get out of here?
Simply because there is a formula, and you carry it in your head, and you are going to dictate it into this machine before I'm through with you and your wife.
Tammy has nothing to do with this.
Hasn't she?
She has only the vaguest idea of what I do at the department, if she has any idea at all. Even if I had memorized a formula, which I haven't, I'd never have told her about it.
And why not?
Why not?
Because your work is precisely what I say it is. Top secret, high security.
No.
Then why wouldn't you tell her? You love her, don't you?
Of course.
Then surely you trust her.
Certainly I trust her.
But not enough to let her know what you do. Oh, you underrate her, Todd. You really do. That woman would do anything for you. Suffer untold pain for you.
What do you mean by that? Suffer untold pain for me?
Well, nothing really. She told me she would, that's all. Or what amounted to the same thing. It just happened to come up in our talk together.
When did you talk?
Only a few moments ago. I went to see her when I left you. I had a very nice chat with her, very interesting and informative chat.
About how much pain she could stand?
Well, that was only a small part of what we talked about.
Now listen to me. She knows nothing.
Of course she doesn't. How could she? There's nothing to know, you say.
You harm her. And I warn you, Mr. X, or whatever you are, I warn you...
Todd, stop acting like a fool. Now, you know that you're helpless, and so is she. You also know that in one way or another, you're going to give me that formula, so... Why not give it to me and save us all a lot of trouble, all three of us?
Three of us.
You, me, and Tammy. Now, here's the tape recorder. Begin. Very well. Come along with me, Todd.
Where to?
The cellar. There's something there I want to show you. Something I'm sure will change your mind. Tell me what you see.
It's a room. Not a very big room. With aluminum walls. They look like aluminum anyway.
What else?
There's a hole. Big wide hole in the floor.
What else?
Nothing that I can see.
Look up. What do you see now?
Hanging. From the ceiling. It's about a foot from the ceiling.
Of what, Todd?
Looks like a headsman's axe. An oversized headsman's axe.
With a very sharp cutting edge. Razor sharp. Note how the light gleams off it. And now there's something more for you to see.
Tammy.
No. You stay here. She stays there, on the other side of the room.
Tammy, are you all right?
Yes, darling. Are you?
Sure. Sure.
No, Todd. Two questions. Have you ever heard of a torture called the pendulum?
Yes.
And another called the pit.
Is that the hole in the floor? A wide hole?
The pit, yes. You have heard of it. You're not going to be sick, are you?
No.
Todd, don't make me subject you to the pendulum. Especially don't make me subject you to the exquisite torment of the pit. Above all, don't make me subject Tammy to either.
No, not Tammy. You...
That depends on you. Now, the formula, Todd. Will you give it to me? Or will you not?
If you were Todd Stearns, what would you do? Come, if you have the imagination I think you have, you are Todd Stearns, or Tammy Stearns. What would be your answer? What would you do? Think about it until I return for Act Two.
Inside you're free after all. You hear freedom spirit like a wild bird call. Inside you're free after all. Living free, living free.
There's a long stretch of open road before you. You're at the controls of a Buick Century, a really fine mid-sized car. Comfort abounds. A sophisticated suspension system is smoothing the way. An underhood, a frugal V6 engine economically goes about its business. You're happy, you're free, and you're in a Buick.
Inside you're free. Inside you're free after all. Living free. Living free. Living free.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
I'm Inspector Pry, miss.
Patience. Miss Patience.
According to the report, now you say someone is trying to murder you.
Yes, but I was warned. A nice man knocked on the door and told me my brick chimney was about to crash through the roof over my head. Luckily, he's in the business and will repair it tomorrow.
I'll help you, Miss Patience.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Be skeptical when a man rings your doorbell and says he just happens to be passing by with his repair equipment and notices that your house needs to be worked on.
My stars! I could have been hoodwinked by a scoundrel.
It pays to be calm and exercise patience. Patience.
Just another friendly tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Rather curious room in the basement of an isolated country house, Todd and Tammy Stearns face a torture known as the pit and the pendulum. Face it, but need not undergo it if Todd will tell Mr. X what he wants to know, reveal the formula he carries in his head for a new weapon of destruction, a bacterial gas. As Todd gazes across the yawning pit at his lovely wife on the other side, Mr. X repeats.
Once again, Todd, I know it's a difficult decision, but it is one that you must make. Will you give me the formula or not?
I told you I don't have
it. Now, that's enough. You have the formula. You memorized it. I know that. So no more time-wasting nonsense. Which is it to be? Will you give me the formula without forcing me to torture it out of you, or must I use force?
I have nothing to tell you.
Perhaps if I explain how the pendulum works.
No need for that. I know.
But does Tammy know? Do you, Tammy?
No.
Tammy, look up toward the ceiling. That is a blade, you see, a blade shaped like a big headsman's axe, and it's razor sharp.
Don't listen to him, Tammy. He's trying to frighten you.
Exactly what I'm trying to do, Tammy, for reasons that are quite obvious, I should think. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Now, that large razor sharp blade, Tammy, is attached to a pendulum that swings back and forth and gets an inch lower on each swing.
An inch lower on each swing?
Yes. And so anyone strapped to that slab on the floor... Look down now, Tammy, to the floor. You see the slab with the straps?
Yes?
Anyone strapped to that slab will, in time, be cut in half.
Tammy, don't listen.
Slowly. Cut in half slowly, Tammy.
You wouldn't. But you wouldn't. You please. You can't. You won't kill him.
Todd? Oh, gracious, no. He has what I want. I can't kill him unless we reach that perfectly wasteful moment when I have no option but to end this whole scene in death. No. No thought of killing him. You.
Oh, my God.
Tammy, did you hear me?
I heard you.
Then, my dear, would you try to do what I have failed to do? Convince your husband to give me the formula. Tammy.
How can I convince him if you couldn't?
Todd, have you no imagination whatever? Do you really think that you'll be able to watch Tammy kill before your eyes without breaking? No answer. Your silence could signify several possibilities. One, you're too shocked at the prospect to answer. Two, you could watch while your wife is slowly cut in half in agony, Todd. Three, you couldn't. Now, which, Todd? Possibly even you don't know at this moment. Well, all right, I'll give you time to think it over, to talk it over, both of you. Miss Z, you know where to take Mrs. Stearns. Mr. Stearns and I will join you there shortly.
Todd, I love you.
And I love you, Tammy. I love you.
You love her. We'll see how much very soon now. Very soon. Tammy, glass of champagne.
No, it would sicken me.
Me too. Just isn't a dinner they've spread before us. It's a gourmet's dream.
Or the condemned's last meal.
Yeah. Darling, we've got to talk this out.
What is there to talk out? You told me that the secret, the formula that you memorized, if it got into the wrong hands, it could mean the death of millions. And if you give it to Mr. X, it will certainly be in the wrong hands.
I don't know.
Oh, what do you mean? The group he represents, they'd sell the formula to the highest bidder. They wouldn't care who, just so that they got their millions.
Well, maybe for once, just for once, I've got to think of us, not the world.
But we are the world.
I know that, too. You're involved now. This character X could torture me to death, and... Well, I don't think I'd break. I don't think I would, but... You can't tell till you're going through it. I've known agents who... Well, never mind. To face torture myself alone, that's one thing. But to watch you face it... Tammy, I couldn't bear that. Why are you looking at me like that?
You're going to have to bear it, Todd. You can't risk the lives of millions for one person, no matter how much you love her.
But that's the point I wanted to make. If I give X the formula...
Todd, you're not going to.
It doesn't mean that whoever buys it will use it to control the world. It could simply mean they would have a balance of power with us.
Instead of the government, whichever it is, you won't tell me, that already has a pact with us?
Sweetheart, I am just a courier. I'm not up there with the brass. A pact? Well, it's supposed to mean what you think it means, but... Well, sometimes... I don't know. Sometimes I think all it means countries have the same amount of clout and can't rip each other off. How do we get into this?
Because this is what it's all about.
No. What it's all about is you. You getting tortured is what it's about. Tammy, X is going to make me watch you on that slab as the pendulum comes closer, inch by inch. Darling, I won't be able to bear it.
I think you will. I know you will.
You're a lot surer than I am. Oh, dear, what a pity. The champagne, the food, you've touched nothing. Who is he? Oh, a little quirk of mine. He fits in, don't you think? The black suit, the red hood with slits for eyes. Just right for an executioner.
Just right to scare the daylights out of your victims.
Exactly. Tammy, are you scared?
You better know it.
But you needn't be, you know. Not if you had succeeded where I failed. What is Todd's answer now?
You better ask Todd that.
Todd?
No. My answer is still no.
What point in it to undergo agony only to give in finally?
If one gives in.
You think you won't?
But you seem to forget. Todd's the one who has to give in. I don't have the formula. If there is one.
Think now, Tammy, think. You're lying strapped to that slab beneath the pendulum. You cannot move. Scarcely a muscle moves. You're looking up, staring at that great blade. It begins to move back and forth, back and forth, swinging and coming lower with each swing. Suddenly, time has sped by unaccountably. Suddenly, there it is, the blade, within inches of you now, within an inch, cutting now, cutting through your dress, delicately cutting. And now, on the next swing, it is going to slice.
Stop it! Stop it! Tammy, I can't let you do this.
I didn't think that you could. Bring the tape recorder.
Don't bother!
No?
Tammy!
Todd, this man is a phony. I'll stake my life on it. You're trying to scare Todd into giving you the secret formula. But if your scare fizzles...
I won't go through with this thing. I won't, hmm?
Well, I don't think you will.
Well, in that case, finish your champagne, and we'll proceed. Todd, one final chance.
Mr. X, this is... It's senseless.
Makes plenty of sense to me. It would if I were in your shoes. That woman, that lovely, exceptional woman you were lucky enough to marry, lies strapped to the slab. When I give the nod to our red-hooded executioner, he'll press the button that starts the pendulum. Once started, it can't be stopped.
Can't?
No. It goes right on, down, and through. Should you change your mind, it had better not be at the last moment. It had better be in time for the executioner to pull her out from under the blade.
Tammy!
Don't give in, Todd. Don't!
You leave me no choice. I must...
Do it! Damn you! Go on and do it!
Very well. I give the nod. Begun its swing. You see it, Todd? Back. And forth. Back. And forth. An inch lower with each swing. Here.
That's the microphone to the tape recorder.
Take it. Use it. Tell the formula.
What is he saying to you? What is that he has handed you? A microphone?
Yes. The mic of the tape recorder.
Oh, Todd, don't.
You'll die if I don't.
Then I'll die. I want to die. Me, then a whole world.
I can't let you. I can't let you.
If you can't let her speak, you've got the mic in your hand. Start talking.
No. What's left if I do? What's left?
What?
She loves me. If I let her down, if I save her life and lose a million others, she'll hate me. What'll be left to me, then?
There are other women.
You, filthy. There are no other women. There's only Tammy. For me. Oh, my dearest, you are right. We've got to go through with this. For them.
I've met fools in my time, but you... It's within inches, three at most, from her body. Not two. One. Cutting the dress now. You see? And the next cut. Talk, you fool. Talk fast.
The bacterial equation.
No,
it's...
No!
What is it? The equation before it's too late. What?
What indeed? A man and a woman. Just another man and woman like you, like me. Stand ready to sacrifice, or not sacrifice, their own lives for others. Certainly the woman does. The man? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when I return for Act 3.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
God We Trust. America Speaks.
Thoughts from Helen Keller. I have four things to learn in life. To think clearly without hurry or confusion. To love everybody sincerely. To act in everything with the highest motives. To trust in God unhesitatingly. I long to accomplish a great and noble task, but it is my chief duty to accomplish humble tasks, as though they were great and noble. The world has moved along, not only by the mighty shoves of its heroes, but also by the aggregate of the tiny pushes of each honest worker.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
I have said that there are all sorts of torture, limitless degrees of mental and physical torment. And of these, mental anguish is worst of all. There are some who can stand physical pain better than mental, and vice versa. Moments ago, we wondered, would Todd Stearns break under the strain of watching the torment of his wife, Tammy? Would Tammy? Well, let's find out.
Todd. Todd.
What?
You fainted.
Fainted? Tammy. I remember now. Pendulum. Blade descending closer and closer, cutting through a dress. Is she...
Is she what?
Dead! Damn you, is she dead?
The tape recorder is right there in front of you. Dictate the formula.
Answer me. Is Tammy dead?
Dictate the formula.
No.
You will, if you want the answer to whether your wife is dead or alive.
Oh, no. If she's dead, then at least she's safe from you.
Ah, but if she's alive... I see it in your eyes, the agony of not knowing. Dictate.
No.
You've got more guts than I thought.
Oh, no. I'm as much a coward as the next man. But you made a mistake. When you left Tammy and me alone together for those few hours.
Oh?
It's a funny thing, but... I don't know why. Maybe it was just facing our last hours on Earth together, but we really got to know each other for the first time in our 4 years of marriage.
I made a mistake?
You made a mistake. You are licked. Dead or alive, Tammy licked you, and dead or alive, I won't let her down.
I see. Excuse me. I'll bring her in.
Tammy. Oh, Tammy, thank God you're alive.
Oh, darling, oh, darling.
Are you all right? You aren't harmed. You're all right.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine.
No, you're not. Your hands. I can feel your hands.
No,
they're shaking.
I'll calm down, then I'll be all right.
Not if Todd goes on refusing to give me that formula.
Then you haven't given it to him?
No.
Oh, I'm so glad, darling. I'm so glad.
Your happiness is doomed to a short life. Because I assure you, Todd is going to do what I ask.
No, not Todd.
Oh, yes. Let me say that I admire you, both of you. And you have every reason to be proud of this man you married.
Well, I am very.
But he is not a superman. He has his breaking point, as all men do. I haven't succeeded in reaching that point, that's all. But unless he dictates the formula he carries in his head, I shall take final steps to reach his breaking point and yours quickly. Oh, by the way, your little girl, Jill.
What about her?
I thought you'd want to know. Your housekeeper, Anna, sent for the doctor a little while ago.
Why?
Is she worse?
I don't know. All I have is the report that the doctor was sent for.
You dirty rat.
Now, slowly. Slowly, Todd. Physical violence will get you nowhere.
This is part of your next torture, isn't it? Making us worry about Jill's condition.
And what will become of her should the two of you meet what you possibly may meet? Death. You leave me no choice but to subject you now to the kind of torment I tried to avoid.
Well, there can't be anything worse than the pendulum.
There's the pit. I see that you know something about it.
I don't know anything about it.
Precisely. You've heard of the pit, but it remains an unknown quantity. And it will be that, the simple fact that you don't know what awaits you in the pit, that will break you. Just as not knowing why the doctor was called for your daughter has shaken you. Now, once again, will you give me the formula? Then it's the pit, I'm afraid. Started? Oh, no. The pendulum, you see, is again in place in the ceiling. I will leave you alone now with just the pit. Oh, and, Todd, when you decide that you can't take any more and agree to give me the formula, just say so. You'll be heard.
Oh, I hope Jill's all right.
Don't worry, she is. There's no better doctor than Dr. Lynch.
Yes, but if the coal's gone into her chest, you know, her chest is weak.
Don't worry. It's just what that louse wants. For all we know, he could be lying. Anna never sent for the doctor.
Oh, you're right. I'm doing just what X wants me to do. I'm worrying myself sick. What are you looking for?
Something to drop down the pit.
Well, what for?
Find out how deep it is. Whether the bottom is solid or filled with water. Room's as bare as a bone, though.
Here.
Oh, your shoe?
You can buy me another pair when we get out of here.
I'll buy you a dozen pair. Okay. Here it goes. Funny.
I didn't hear a sound. Not a sound.
No splash. No thud of the shoe hitting anything. Nothing. Damn thing can't be bottomless.
It's either that or awfully, awfully deep.
That's for sure. Give me your other shoe.
Try again.
Yes. The first sound could have been so slight we didn't pick it up.
Yes.
This time listen carefully, very carefully. Ready?
Go ahead. I didn't hear a thing. Being so near the edge.
I don't blame you. Thought of falling in.
No.
Sorry.
It's all right. I feel the same way.
Let's sit down on the floor. Against the wall.
All right. Yes, that's better. Todd?
Hmm?
The wall feels warm.
It's a little too warm. Just, move away a bit. Better?
Much. Oh, I'm sure Jill's going to be all right. I'm just not going to worry about her.
No.
Todd, that wall's getting hotter.
Well, we'll have to move away from it a little more.
And closer to the pit.
Wait a minute now. You don't think... Here, let me just see how...
Todd!
Burn my hand. The wall is as hot as an oven. Move over to that one.
Well, this one's as hot as the other. It's getting hotter.
So that's it. Don't you see? The hotter the walls get, the farther we have to get from them.
And the closer to the pit, until we...
Yeah, until... Are you all right?
Oh, darling, Jesus, stifling.
And we're moving closer to the pit.
Can't help it. Heat from the walls. Getting worse.
Oh, God, hold me. Put your arms around me.
Sweetheart.
What is down there? We go over the edge. Oh, God, it's less than 2 feet away now. When we go over, what will happen to us? What?
Death, I guess.
How? How will we die?
Wait. Try not to move any closer. Try.
Help myself. The heat is unbearable. You're moving closer to the edge, too.
I can't help it either.
Hold me. Hold me.
Sweetheart. I guess we... Wait. Wait a minute.
What?
The heat. It doesn't seem so hot.
Not so. I think you're right. It's cooler. Oh, the room seems cooler. Oh, let's move back.
It won't last long. That creep has got something else in store for us. But... You see? He didn't go through with it.
No.
Just as he didn't go through with the pendulum.
No, you fainted.
I don't think he would have gone through with it anyway.
Why not, Todd?
What?
Mr. X, Todd. I can see you and hear you. What's given you the sudden idea that I won't go through with things?
You want the formula.
True.
Kill me, the formula dies with me.
True.
Well?
Todd Stern's dead is worth considerable, too. Oh, not as much as the formula, but considerable.
I don't see why.
Very simple. It's worth a great deal for a certain government to prevent another from getting the formula. Keeps the balance of power unbalanced, you see. And now that we've settled that, do you still refuse to change your mind?
Yes.
Todd, I'm sorry to say that this time, I believe you.
Wait a minute. Tammy has no part in this now. You used her to break me down. You failed. What you used for her is over. Let her go.
He hasn't heard you. Or if he did, he said his final word. And I wouldn't want out anyhow. If you die, I want to be dead too.
But it's senseless. Pointless. I'm the one who has the formula, not you. There's no point in killing you if I... What's that?
What is it?
Machinery of some kind. I don't know what it's for. Yes, I do.
God, what?
The walls. Look at the walls.
They're moving. All four of them. Moving inward.
Making the room narrower. And narrower until...
There'll be no space, no floor space left.
Nothing but the pit.
Oh, Lord.
X! X, listen to me! Let Tammy go! I beg you, let her go!
The pit! The walls! Pushing us to it! Oh, let me out! Let me out!
Tammy!
I can't bear anymore! I can't bear it!
You won't have to bear anymore now, sweetheart. No more. Now.
More champagne, Tammy?
No.
Todd?
What I want is an explanation of all this, and you better make it a good one, Mr. What is your name?
X will do.
But now we know it was all a test or a game or whatever it was.
I must still keep my cover. Look, I don't blame you for being angry. Simply put, we subjected you to a test to see how much you could take before you broke down. All operatives, couriers, are put through the ringer.
I never was before. I never even heard of it before.
Never would have if you hadn't reached that point in your career where we felt that you were ready. The formula you so painstakingly memorized, Todd, is worthless. There's no such thing as that bacterial weapon.
Oh, no.
But if there were, and you were caught by the kind of group I pretended to represent... We had to be sure that you'd never break, never reveal it.
And risk blowing my mind. Tammy.
No, no, no. You were never in any danger of that. From start to finish, you were carefully monitored by staff psychiatrists. We'd have known instantly if you were in any serious difficulty.
Well, I guess you'll have to do it.
Yes, we do.
Tell me something. What did we fall on? I mean, when I went over, holding Tammy in my arms.
Special foam rubber. Dozens of layers of the stuff. You could have dropped an iron safe down that hole, much less Tammy's shoes, and you'd have heard nothing. Now then, it's over. You can relax and unwind. What's more, Todd, you have gained something that you didn't have before. You've learned how much you can take. And, mister, you can take it.
I learned something a lot more important than that, if you ask me.
What would that be, Todd?
I learned... Tammy, I always thought you were pretty wonderful, but you're more than that. You're the most wonderful woman and wife in the world.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And if you feel the story I've just brought you is one of the strangest you've ever heard, I can only assure you that even stranger things go on in this world of ours. Stranger and, yes, more terrifying. Let's hope you never find yourself involved with any of them. Beyond your radio, that is. I'll be back shortly.
This is Arnold Palmer. In golf, we call someone who plays exceptionally well a champ. And a champ works to win. His whole way of life is geared to that talent, that ability in him which makes him win. Well, that's one way of living, but there are others. And the March of Dimes offers us some of those ways. Ways to work to prevent birth defects, or ways to help kids born with birth defects. For many of those kids, a way of life is a difficult direction to discover. But for most of us, it's not. By us, I mean young people, middle-aged people, senior citizens, everyone. As honorary national chairman for the March of Dimes, I can tell you that the greatest gift you can give any handicapped child is a little understanding, a little encouragement, and a chance to appreciate life. Won't you help? Join the March of Dimes today and find a way of life.
Version of The Pit and the Pendulum was only based on Edgar Allan Poe's story, it's to this great master of the bizarre and this connoisseur of the horrifying that we owe the story's, shall we say, electrifying moments. I hope you were properly shocked. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Marion Seldes, and Norman Rose. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
This may give you a lift. The morning paper, page one. Shooting victim succumbs. Joseph Wilson, age 37, died at Mercy Hospital last night as the result of a mysterious bullet wound inflicted while he was driving along the old high road. Wilson, a plumber by trade, leaves a wife, Helen, and two children, ages 8 and 3.
Let me see that.
Well, you have the right. Not many men get to see their own obituaries.
Sure gives a man a funny feeling.
I'll bet.
The victim's widow said he will be buried in Clendon Cemetery. That policeman sure did it up thoroughly, didn't he?
Well, they could scarcely release a story that you died without being nice enough to bury you.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sign Off, the sinus medicines. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN in Portland. The time is 12 midnight.
CBS News. Insurgents appear to be tightening the noose around the Cambodian capital of Phnom Penh, attacking the city for the first time from the south. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The Reuters News Agency reports for the first time in their current 2.5-month offensive, communist forces have attacked Phnom Penh from the south. The battle, 10 miles south of the besieged city, means the capital now is under attack from all four sides. The high command gave no casualty figures for the overnight battle. No casualty figures were given either for another battle reported 10 miles north of the city. To the west, insurgents fired 7 rockets into the Panchatang airport area, and 3 more rockets have hit the capital itself. The Cambodian high command reports its forces killed 26 insurgents while suffering 1 dead and 7 wounded in a counterattack near the Mekong River ferry town of Nick Long. Pentagon sources are quoted by the Associated Press as saying a small force of U.S. Marines and helicopters are standing by aboard Navy carriers in the Gulf of Thailand. It's described as a precautionary measure in case it becomes necessary to evacuate Americans from Phnom Penh. Officially, Defense Department spokesman told CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas, such operations are highly classified and cannot be discussed. It is known, however, the Pentagon has contingency plans for the evacuation of Americans from most countries under a wide variety of circumstances. President Ford's request for $222 million in emergency aid to Cambodia bogged down Tuesday in a House Appropriations Subcommittee's parliamentary maneuvering. A group of congressmen just back from Cambodia supported a trimmed-down version of aid lasting until June, as we hear from CBS News correspondent Hal Walker.
Both Hawks and Doves in the delegation agreed that money for food and medicine should go to Cambodia for humanitarian purposes. The majority seemed agreed on enough military aid for the country to see the Lon Nol government through June, the beginning of the monsoon season. That would have been $116 million, little more than half the amount requested by the Ford administration. The loudest dissenter in the group was Bella Abzug of New York, who argued before the subcommittee that American military aid was the major contributor to the count of dead, injured, and homeless in Cambodia. But after a day of testimony from the fact finders and from the State Department, the Passman subcommittee decided to pass the buck onto the Senate and House Foreign Affairs Committees without taking action. Hal Walker, CBS News, Washington.
And CBS News continues following this message.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your car to come.
Or 3 or 1? That's the question when you catch the common cold. Then take 12-hour Contact. You need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 cold pills, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 Contact capsule. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief from sneezing, congestion, drips. The tiny time pills do it. For aches and fever, the others contain aspirin. Contact doesn't. Your cold, your choice. 6 or 3 or 1. Give your call to Contact, the number one cold medicine in the whole world.
Give your call to Contact.
6 or 3 or 1. Take Contact only as directed.
Leaders of the major oil-producing nations meet again this morning in Algiers to finalize what they are referring to as their solemn declaration of principles to guide long-term relations with their customers. In the first summit meeting session, lower oil prices were contemplated, as we hear from CBS News correspondent Bill McLaughlin.
Algerian President Boumediene said that oil prices could be frozen and even decreased over the next several years. The speech seemed to indicate that Algeria, leader of the oil world's hardline faction, is now more prepared to go along with the moderate faction dominated by Saudi Arabia. Boumediene said the oil country should get together with the West to seek profitable cooperation on a broad basis. He rejected U.S. threats against the oil field as part of an old colonialist imperialist mentality and urged Western Europe to free itself from U.S. domination. But he also held out his hand to the U.S. to join in constructive talks aimed at solving the economic crisis. But Boumediene warned that the U.S. and the West would have to put its economic house in order and make a real effort to help the developing world. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News at the OPEC summit in Algeria.
More in a moment.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's new Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Vaseline Hemorrhoid. It's new. Use only as directed.
To use the style of a poet past, a steak is a steak is a steak. Or is it? Hi, Debbie Bracken here with the Super Chef Mike Roy. And we're going to talk on Mike Roy's cooking thing tomorrow over the CBS Radio Net. Going to have meat on our minds, right?
You got a dead center cut, Debbie. Tomorrow we're going to talk about steak. Like, why can't you get a Kansas City sirloin steak in Kansas City or Los Angeles? And why can't you get a New York steak in New York?
You can, huh?
In Los Angeles. That's right.
Okay, tune in for the Steakout tomorrow on Mike Roy's Cook Thing here on CBS.
Spain's Prime Minister Carlos Arias Navarro has overhauled his cabinet for the first time since taking office 14 months ago, ousting five right-wing ministers. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
The Oregon House Elections Committee has been told that every Oregon voter should be allowed to cast his or her ballot on Election Day, even if it means the state should adopt a new law allowing voters to register at the polls on Election Day. Oregon Common Cause is asking the committee to approve legislation that would allow voters to register at the polls. Proof of identity would be determined by requiring voters to present two pieces of identification. Blanche Schroeder, State Issues Coordinator for Common Cause, says a larger voter turnout would result if registration on Election Day were allowed. Present law halts registration 30 days prior to an election to allow county clerks time to gather the rolls. A representative of the Oregon County Clerks Association said the organization opposes that legislation. He said registration at the polls would be costly and force a slowdown in the Election Day process. The first state in the country to adopt a liberal voter registration law was Minnesota. In 1973, the state began allowing voter registration by postcard as well as at the polls. In the 1974 elections in Minnesota, pre-registration by postcard amounted to 75% of the voter registration. The balance of the voters waited until the last minute. A proposal to increase the Washington state gasoline tax by up to 3 cents per gallon has been approved in the Washington State Senate by a 26-22 vote. If approved by the Washington House and governor, the tax increase could become the biggest ever on gas. The proposal calls for a variable gasoline tax of up to 12 cents per gallon, compared with the current 9 cents per gallon. Washington Senate Majority Leader August Martasich says the increase is absolutely necessary as a first step in maintaining Washington's highway program. There is speculation the Washington House will not buy the tax increase unless it's tied to a proposed Department of Transportation and more funding for mass transit. Governor Bob Straub called the late Portland Mayor Terry Schrunk one of those extraordinary public servants who gave more than he received or asked for. Schrunk died early Monday at the age of 61. He had suffered a heart attack at his home and had been in a coma at Best Kaiser Hospital. He was mayor of Portland for 16 years until January 1973. Straub said his strong leadership and dependable judgment as Portland's mayor helped the city enter a new era in local, state, and federal intergovernmental relationships. Straub said his contribution will long be remembered. The Portland Trailblazers, shooting better than 60% in the third quarter, had the Cleveland Cavaliers wishing they had never heard of Portland, Oregon, as the Blazers romped to their fourth straight NBA victory in a row last night at Portland's Memorial Coliseum. Here is KOIN's Trailblazer voice, Bill Shonley, to recap the game.
Last night at Portland's Memorial Coliseum, the Portland Trailblazers defeated the Cleveland Cavaliers by a score of 117-98, rather handily. The Blazers, in doing so, have won four in a row. They pick up valuable ground on Seattle and Phoenix. They are now just 2.5 games behind the Supersonics, who lost last night, one game behind the Phoenix Suns, who were defeated last night, and the Blazers have Phoenix in here on Friday night. The Blazers were down by 3 at the end of the first period, but they had a 6-point halftime lead. They led by 17 after 3. They win the ball game by 19. Led by 21 points by John Johnson and 10 rebounds. Sidney Wicks with 24 points, 12 rebounds. Jeff Petrie had 18 points and 6 assists. Lloyd Neal, 21 points, 13 rebounds, leading that parade again. And Larry Steele, 12 points, 5 for 5, all in the second half. Larry with 6 assists and 7 steals. The Blazers' record now 28-37, 4 in a row. They hope to make it 5-6 before the week is out. For KOIN Sports, This is Bill Shanley.
The weather forecast for the Portland metropolitan area, fair today and this evening. There will be increasing clouds Thursday. High temperatures today and Thursday in the upper 50s, lows in the low 30s. Northerly winds 5 to 15 miles per hour, and the chance of measurable rainfall near zero today and 10% Thursday. Right now at Portland Airport, it's clear. The temperature is 41. The relative humidity is 62%. Wind is north-northwest at 7 miles per hour. And the barometer reading is 29.92 and rising. Here in downtown Portland, it's 44 degrees. That's KOIN News at 11 and a half past midnight. This is Alan Archer.